Harvey, one of your works, The Cure for Cancer, and I've got to ask you this. This has been something that has been on my mind for years and years, and I have never gotten the answer. And that is, I am convinced that all of us are walking around right now with cancer cells. We've all got them, you know, and our immune systems either can suppress it or keep them from mutating, or we're going to lose that battle and we're going to get cancer and we may fight it, but we could die.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little different way to look at cancer.
Okay, because then I have my question.
Okay, cancer is a mold of the body. Now, when we die, we should mold in the coffin. Because of all the pollutions that are coming on that we've had now, we're now molding while we're alive. I give you an example when I talk about cancer is not random. I don't believe in randomness in nature. Breast cancer is skyrocketing. Now, breast cancer, 80% of the time, will go to the bones first. It'll hit 20 spots in the bones before it goes anyplace else. This totally changes the theory of one cell breaking loose and going wild. Okay, no, it's a mold, and the breast cancer feeds on calcium. When they gave women all this hormonal therapy for menopause, and they gave them calcium for the osteoporosis, they skyrocketed breast cancer because calcium is a major food source.
Interesting.
It's a mold, and that is, if we look at it that way, the way we're looking at it, the way it spread, one cell accidentally going wild, no, it's pH controlled.
It lives in an acidic body, doesn't it?
When we're stressed, our cells become very acid, and the blood becomes alkaline, and the normal pH is considered 7.4, the pH of the venous blood. My average cancer patient is 7.55, 7.57. If you ever get it below 7.35, cancer will die all over the body.
All right. Now, do we all have this mold in us right now?
Well, it depends on the pH. If you have good oxygenation, your pHs will be better. If you are more toxic and stressed and more adrenalized, okay, then the chances are going, your pHs will change, and the chances of the mold going.
Interesting. I about 2 years ago, started to balance my pH levels because I thought they were a little lower than I wanted them to. They were too acidic. And I started drinking green juices, powdered juices. I started to making sure that my pH level in my drinking water was higher than normal. And I hope I'm doing the right thing, Harvey.
Those are good things, and they're very good. But I'm going to tell you the most important thing about pH is attitude.
Really?
If you're worried, you're going to start to be stressed with your adrenal glands, and that's going to be a real problem. You know, the French are number one in the world in healthcare. The United States is 37th.
Jeez.
And I think one of the reasons is at the end of the day, they have a 2 or 3 hour meal, they've forgotten about everything, and they just have joy at the end of the day.
Okay, here's my question that has perplexed me. How can a little kid come down with cancer?
I really think it's because it's so much more pollutions that are coming about. What's going on now in neonatal care and childbirth, to me, is fairly barbaric. If you watch an ultrasound, you may not hear the ultrasound, but that embryo hears it, and that embryo is disturbed by it. I think we're doing things intrauterine that's starting to disturb the whole system. And plus, the parents are polluted, we're polluted, so the kids are coming out already not clean. And this is what's going on with our country, with the pollution, and our body is absolutely horrible. And it's really weakening our system, and it's lowering our expectancy, and the United States is dropping fast.
Okay, now, you're a doctor. You've written a book called Doctors Are More Harmful Than Germs. You're going against your own grain. How come?
Well, we were taught the germ theory of disease. Everything is germs. Okay, but really, honestly, the germ theory of disease comes up with Pasteur in the late 1800s. He says germs cause disease, and his rival says, no, germs live in a diseased body. Pasteur, on his deathbed, recants and says he's wrong. However, in 1910, Rockefeller picks up the concept. Rockefeller gives a fortune of money to the pharmaceutical industry to go after the germ theory and sponsor that. Meanwhile, he dies at the age of 97, a vegetarian all his life with a homeopathic physician. Okay, that's very historical. And what goes on then is the AMA and all of this now start to have a department of propaganda, and they start to now advertise all of these things and put everything else under the system, and that's what's really taken over. We've been brainwashed by their propaganda, and that's very historical.
Do you find that more and more mainstream doctors are beginning to understand the alternative end of medicine?
I think doctors are very frustrated. You know, the average doctor lives 4 years less than the average person.
I didn't know that.
Okay, and I once had...
They drink more, too, don't they?
Everything. It's remember the Earth Shoes? There was a designer of the Earth Shoes who's a yoga master, Ann Kelso. I worked with her for a year. And she said the average doctor lives 4 years less than the average person because deep down they know they're full of garbage.
Yeah.
They know they're wrong, and it eats away at them.
Well, you know, I've been in doctors' offices when the marketing person for this pharmaceutical company comes in with their suitcase. And, you know, you go in, you talk to your doctor, and they prescribe this thing that was just given to them. And you always have to question, Harvey, you know, did he even study this? Does he know what it does? Or, you know, did the marketing guy come up to him and say, hey, this is a new drug for this? And he just prescribes it because it's easy for him to do that. What do they do?
This is really, honestly, this is what medicine is about. I could not wait. People would come in to me, and I didn't know what to do, and I'd say, next week they're coming in with a new drug for me. And I couldn't wait for the marketing person to come in with a new drug. They started on your internship doing this. They went through the residency doing this. They went through your practice doing this. And it becomes the marketing on it, and since no one cures anything, everyone's now looking for that miracle thing.
I would love to see a doctor tell the marketing guy, I want to see your studies, and I want to know who paid for the studies, and da-da-da-da-da, before I start prescribing this drug. But they don't do that, do
they? Don't do that. They just take the samples, and they give them out. And the patient loves it because, hey, I got 10 free samples, and I already gave him a prescription for the other 50. Okay, and that's what it is. I practice medicine that way, and that's why I was suicidal. I said, this is stupid. This is crazy that I'm listening to this pharmacy guy wait to next week to come in for this new miracle thing.
Are there a lot of frustrated doctors out there now?
Again, I think they live 4 years less than the average person. I think they're very frustrated. And what's going on in medical school nowadays, and when I went to medical school, there was 100 students in each class, one woman. Now 52% of applicants are women, and women are bright. Make no mistake about it. But the point is, men don't want to go into it because they like to run their own business, and they can't do it anymore.
It's too controlled.
It's so controlled, you cannot step out of line. I once had charges brought against me that I cured a person with an illegal means.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes, and the head doctor said, we don't care if your patients are getting better or worse. We only care if you're doing the work in our way scientifically.
And what was illegal? Not approved?
I treated something. The person came in to me with a severe eye problem. I was now doing general practice.
As the ophthalmologist?
I wasn't. No, I was now into my holistic stuff. As an ophthalmologist, he left me alone. Now I was into my natural stuff, and a patient comes in with a severe eye problem. Well, I was an ophthalmologist, and I was a licensed physician. So I injected something behind the eye, and I cured the person. Well, he wrote to his doctors and told them about that. The doctors complained to the medical board, and the medical board examined me.
Oh.
They went after me for curing.
Had he just kept quiet and said, I've been cured, you would have been fine.
Right, right. But I had charges. I had, if you go on QuackWatch, you'll see that I got censured for illegible handwriting. That's what the judge did, too.
How did you know that this injection was going to work?
I knew that. I went to the nerve roots. It's called neural therapy. You treat the nerve to the tissue. That livens up the tissue. It's a classic thing that I've done. Neural therapy has been around for 50 years. I used remedies from Europe that will stimulate the growth of the tissue, and it calmed down the inflammation, and there was not a pharmaceutical remedy in that.